I'm Duncan MacLeod.
And I'm Craig Wilson.
This is Talk Central, episode 95, for the weekend starting Friday, 11 October 2013.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, South Africa's most influential technology news website, and still the home of the best local technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central,
on Google Plus at Plus Tech Central,
and on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about ICASA's announcement on termination rates, Cell C's decision to take its bigger rivals to the Competition Commission, watching Netflix, Hulu, and other streaming services in South Africa, and Vodacom's big bid to buy out Neotel.
And as always, we'll pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
That's right, but first we need to pay the bills. We'll be back in a moment.
He's never been happier.
Yeah.
Since we got YaClick satellite internet at the farm, he gets his grain prices faster.
Yeah.
The weather reports faster.
Yeah.
Does the banking faster.
Yeah.
And checks his team score.
Yeah.
Much faster.
Say yeah to YaClick internet access wherever you are. YaClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Well, welcome to the show. We haven't done one for a few weeks, and in fact, we haven't done one for a while because we had some special podcasts in what must have been about 3 or 4 weeks ago now. With Vince Cerf of Google and who else?
And then it was Cory Doctorow of Boing Boing, yeah.
Right. So back to the normal format this week after a bit of a break and plenty to talk about, Craig.
Indeed, back to the regular stars. That's me and Duncan. So much happening this week. I guess the place to start, perhaps, is the one that's played into a lot of other stories as a result, and that's ICASA's announcements about termination rates.
Absolutely. I think most of our listeners know what these are, but just for the edification of those who don't, termination rates are, of course, the fees the operators charge each other to query calls onto their networks, between their networks. And ICASA this week moved on mobile termination rates specifically, or last week, and published draft regulations around this, and they're looking pretty damn aggressive.
They are, and of course, as a result, I think we're going to see a lot of resistance, particularly from Vodacom and MTN, who, of course, stand to lose the most from these.
Yeah.
The cuts are incredibly aggressive. We've, of course, seen the rates come down over the last 3 years with the so-called glide path approach. What was it? 3 years ago, they were R1.25 a minute.
It was actually 4 years ago. It was sitting at R1.25, and then the operators voluntarily cut. I think it was to around 81
right.
or 86 cents. And then from there, there was a three-year glide path to this year where they've dropped to 40 cents a minute.
But now, of course, what we've seen is ICASA is getting really aggressive, and next March those are going to drop by half to 20 cents.
Indeed.
But of course, this is only part of the story. The other part of the story is the asymmetry. So the idea, I gather, is that the smaller players, in order to try and stimulate the smaller players and help them grow their market share, players with less than 20% market share are going to enjoy these new asymmetry rates for the next 5 years, even if they break the 20% barrier during that period.
This is the controversial part of it. And that asymmetry is quite aggressive. Just to explain what it means, that the smaller players, the guys with less than 20% market share currently, will enjoy a favorable interconnection or termination rates regime, whereby they will pay less to MTN and Vodacom, the two big operators in the market.
Then the big operators have to pay them.
So that's going to be set at a rate of 95% in the first year, from 10% at the moment. So it's a massive jump in asymmetry. And then interestingly, and Vodacom and MTN are complaining bitterly about this, that level of asymmetry is actually going to increase over the glide path period.
Indeed.
Reaching, according to Vodacom, and I haven't crunched the numbers myself, 160% towards the end of the period. So it's an interesting move by ICASA. And as you say, Craig, it's going to be very, very hard fought by Vodacom and MTN, which have stated very clearly in the past that they are desperately unhappy about the fact that Cell C in particular is enjoying any sort of asymmetry, given that they've been in the market for 13 years already, and they argue that they should be allowed to compete.
Absolutely.
Cell C will argue that that Vodacom and MTN have used the regulatory regime to keep them from competing effectively, so that they deserve this asymmetry. So it's an interesting argument, and it's certainly ICASA has come down on the side of the argument that Cell C's CEO Eleanor Craig has been advancing so forthrightly in the last few months.
And of course, although there's going to be big resistance to it, what we can also be sure of is that ICASA really wants to push these through, I think. I think it's really important for ICASA to be seen to have some teeth and to be aggressive in driving down prices for consumers, because a lot of people from various sectors of the industry have long said that the problem with ICASA is that it's not as independent as its name suggests, and it's just simply not aggressive enough when it comes to keeping the sort of big players in check.
Yeah. I mean, I think the level of reductions in the actual general rate of termination, the 40 cents to 20 cents, and then reducing it by 2016 by 50% again to 10 cents is good. I think that the mobile termination rates in South Africa have been far too high for far too long.
Indeed.
And taking them down to 10 cents will bring them in line with other mature mobile markets elsewhere in the world. In fact, it could be argued, I think, that 10 cents a minute would still be too high.
Sure.
And that it should trend towards zero over time.
And of course, the other reason, I mean, at the end of the day, beyond all the technicalities of how this works, the most important thing is there is a very distinct correlation between termination rates and the end rates that consumers pay. Cut the termination rates, the prices will come down, because the smaller players use the opportunity to charge lower rates to try and win market share. And this, in turn, forces the bigger players' hands, and they have to cut their rates accordingly. So, I mean, you know, for the man on the street who goes, well, asymmetry and so on, what do I care?
Yeah.
The reason this matters is prices are going to come down, and they're going to come down after March.
That's right. That's right. What's really funny is that MTN and Vodacom, I still remember, they were both argued very strongly when South Africa first started talking about bringing down termination rates. They were warning about these things called bubble effects or waterbed effect,
right?
Where they were warning that could have unintended consequences. And I seem to recall Alan Knott-Craig, funnily enough,
he was still
the CEO of Vodacom, warning that cutting termination rates could actually lead to retail prices going up.
Right.
He's definitely talking a very different story now that he's running Cell C.
Well, we've seen lots of these sorts of stories too. Right? We've also heard last time there were termination rate cuts, you had the operators saying, well, oh, we're not going to be able to invest in our networks, this is going to slash our revenue. You know, we've heard talk of MTN this week use phrases like market failure, you know, as the potential sort of outcomes. And actually, what we've seen in lots of instances since the last cuts is that when the rates come down, people make more calls.
Yeah.
Revenue doesn't necessarily fall off a cliff. In fact, in instances, it stays fairly constant or actually goes up. Plus, a lot of the infrastructure is built. I mean, I realize there's maintenance and there's rolling out next generation infrastructure. But I think these arguments that we're not going to be able to invest anymore.
They've got to continue investing. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Vodacom makes the point that it invests 7 billion rand a year in its network. Arguably, it should even be investing more than that.
Sure.
So, because it does have to be wary of this.
Mm.
But I do think that cutting the general rate, and the general termination rate, is absolutely the right thing to do, and is not going to be cause as nearly as much damage on the industry as they'd have us believe. I think the asymmetry is potentially a worry. I think the level of that asymmetry is potentially a worry. Certainly ICASA have come down very strongly in favor of Telkom Mobile and Cell C, and I think ICASA needs to approach this quite carefully. Assuming these rates are, this glide path and this asymmetry is implemented, I think ICASA needs to keep a close eye on the market to make sure that the asymmetry isn't in fact damaging the market, because that's always the risk.
Well, as they've also pointed out, though, these things are all subject to change. I mean, what we've seen here, of course, is only the draft. They may change before they're implemented. But also, you know, talking to people at ICASA, I spoke to some of the councillors about it, and I said, you know, I've raised some of these concerns. Well, what happens if this doesn't work? And the response I got was, well, then we change the rules.
Yeah.
You know, if this doesn't work, then we adapt the sort of legislation to compensate for this. So, I think we'll wait and see. But they certainly have indicated a willingness to react, and that they'll be paying close attention.
There's no doubt that Vodacom and MTN have both enjoyed a very favorable regime for the longest period of time. You know, Telkom really subsidized them in the early days through the interconnect. I think Sipho Maseko was making the point recently at Telkom's, in fact, he did at Telkom's AGM, where he said that, you know, Telkom effectively subsidized the start of MTN and Vodacom and really helped build those companies. They would have had a much tougher time if it hadn't been for that favorable interconnection environment. But he said the time for that to end was in 2000, and yes, it's still going on today. But these latest regulations from ICASA change that, and I think the regulatory regime, if these regulations do come into force over the next 3 years, mean that Vodacom and MTN are no longer beneficiaries of the interconnection regime, and arguably Cell C and Telkom Mobile.
Well, and perhaps fittingly, Telkom Mobile is undoubtedly the network that stands to benefit the most, given that they have such a minuscule market share.
Do they? Because, I mean, is Telkom Mobile really about voice? I think it's more about pushing data.
Sure.
And so does the interconnect really apply to them? I mean, you and I aren't going to go out there and buy Telkom Mobile numbers for voice calls, but we're very likely to go out there and buy their SIM cards so that we can access the internet.
Although,
and I think that's the case with most consumers.
Sure. Although, of course, I've long felt that really Telkom Mobile should be, at least in some senses, pushing voice more aggressively because of the potential for a converged offering that no one else has.
Well, they are doing that now. I mean, their prepaid rates are the cheapest in the market. 29 cent on net call and 75 cents, I think it is, off net.
Sure.
So they're by far the cheapest in the market. What will be interesting to see now is how Cell C responds, because obviously they're going to have to do something, because the regulator is going to be sitting watching Cell C saying, well, we've done for you, now you need to cut your rates. And then obviously how Vodacom and MTN respond. We know that MTN took too long to respond to the 99 cent cuts by MTN, by Cell C, which MTN followed very quickly.
Yeah, you mean Vodacom followed very quickly.
MTN. Oh, sorry. Cell C cut, Vodacom followed quickly, MTN didn't, and they lost market share.
And they saw sort of 400,000 customers shift. Yeah. Well, the good news of that, of course, is that the suggestion is that next time there is a massive cut, MTN won't simply sit back and wait for it to be affected, but will hopefully actually cut its own rates quickly too.
Yes.
Anyway, of course, something else came out of this shortly thereafter, and that was, it's been an exciting week in the mobile space, and that was Cell C talking to the Competition Commission and filing a complaint against Vodacom and MTN, the two big players, citing a sort of anti-competitive behavior. And one of the things is precisely this on-net, off-net difference, I understand, and the suggestion is that because the big players charge lower rates to keep calls on net, so you know, a Vodacom to a Vodacom call tends to be cheaper than a Vodacom to anyone else call. The suggestion is that this is anti-competitive, and we've heard this argument advanced by Orange as well. It's not entirely new, is it?
No, it's not. It's an interesting development. I found it quite amusing that Eleanor Craig, the Cell C CEO, took advantage of what announced this at a forum that was sponsored by Vodacom, which was rather amusing. But that aside, they filed a Competition Commission complaint, saying that the fact that companies like Vodacom Vodacom and MTN offer these discounted on-net call rates is anti-competitive because of their dominance in the market, and he pointed to other markets, particularly France, but to others as well, where fines have been imposed and the regulator has intervened because of this. I think that the sort of products that Cell C is really targeting here are things like the Vodacom, I forget what it's called, offer, where you speak for 3 minutes, pay for a 3-minute call and get the rest of that on network call
up to an hour, to the rest hour of it free
for free. And I think that's what he's arguing is anti-competitive. I don't know what competition law says about this issue,
and I'm in two minds about it too. I mean, on the one hand, I feel like it has kind of become industry practice, you know, for so long operators have done this that it's just sort of assumed that on-net calls are cheaper. But by the same token, as someone who has ported it more than once, resulting in all sorts of annoying beeps when you call me, you know, I don't know anymore, aside from the fact that nobody knows anybody's numbers because we all just save them in our phone, I couldn't tell you what network my friends are on.
Yeah,
I have no idea when I call someone what network they're on.
Yeah.
And I think there is a lot to be said for that argument, that this is not something consumers are aware of, and as a result, they do in some instances get penalized because on-net and off-net can be a distinction that they're actually not in a position to make.
So anyway, let's see what the Competition Commission says about this one. You know, the Competition Commission processes can be slow, so
indeed,
we may be waiting a while, but let's see what comes out of that. Anyway, speaking of Vodacom, they're, as you know, Craig, they've made an audacious approach to buy Neotel. The rumor is the acquisition value could be anywhere between 5 and 10 billion rand.
And that's, of course, another move that we can expect to see all sorts of resistance from everyone, pretty much everyone in the industry except Vodacom and Neotel.
Again, at the Competition Commission, for sure.
Yes,
you can be sure there are going to be complaints about this. I'm not sure it's necessarily a bad deal, particularly if the Competition Commission imposes conditions on the deal that are favorable to consumers in much the same way as they've imposed conditions on Telkom and the antitrust settlement they reached with the fixed line operator over its previous anti-competitive abuses.
Sure.
And I think that if the Competition Commission can reach some sort of agreement, possibly working with ICASA, I don't know how that would pan out or work specifically. But you know, there's an urgent need for these mobile operators, or there's an urgent need for some sort of regulatory environment that requires these mobile operators to open up on a wholesale basis access to their mobile 3G networks, so that we can create an environment in mobile similar to what we've got in the ADSL market, where you've got a host of very competitive ADSL resellers,
right,
ISPs. I think we really need to see that happening in the mobile space as well, so that these ISPs, your companies like MWeb and Telkom Internet and AfriHost and et cetera, can really start to take advantage and resell these solutions from all of these providers. I don't know if there's a way of doing that with the Competition Commission and ICASA working together as part of this particular deal to try and force, sure, that, especially if Vodacom is given access to Neotel's spectrum, which is clearly something it's after, so that it can build 4G LTE networks.
And it's clearly a thorny issue too. Right? Mm. The suggestion seems to be that if one of the conditions of the deal was that the spectrum had to be handed back to ICASA, one has to wonder whether Vodacom's interest would suddenly dry up. I mean, it seems like spectrum is certainly one of the big issues.
Spectrum,
of course,
and fiber.
Neotel, for those who don't know, sits on a chunk of prime spectrum that the operators would love to get their hands on,
yep,
to offer 4G services. Because, of course, the bulk of them at the moment have had to reallocate their existing spectrum allocations to offer 4G.
Yep.
So one gets the impression that this is really key to the deal, but this, of course, yeah, could be one of the things that the opposition or rivals argue and say, well, we're not opposed to the deal, assuming that Vodacom doesn't get access to that spectrum.
As I understand it, spectrum, the transfer of spectrum still has to be approved by ICASA. So this may be a great opportunity for the Competition Commission and ICASA to work together to create a situation that benefits consumers. Whether,
sure,
whether Vodacom then walks away from a deal it must be mentioned, of course, that Vodacom has not made an offer yet to Neotel.
No, they've already confirmed that they're in talks.
Discussions, exclusive discussions, sure, with one another.
The other big point is, of course, Neotel has an awfully large amount of fiber in the ground. And I think what excites me most about this potential deal is that Vodacom's making all sorts of fun noises about using that fiber to offer fiber to the home, fiber to the curb, a selection of sort of fiber services. And I think the appeal of this in particular is that the other company, of course, who has an enormous fiber network is Telkom. And this could force Telkom's
fiber network to much larger than
absolutely. But you know, if Vodacom was really aggressive in the space and began offering a range of fiber services that we haven't seen to date,
yeah,
it could force Telkom's hand and force Telkom to roll these services out quicker than it might otherwise do.
That's why I think this might be a good deal, because effectively, if Vodacom were to buy Neotel, I think they would make a much more effective second national operator, which was what Neotel was supposed
absolutely
to be, to
and
compete
that's the
with
point,
Telkom.
Right.
And I think Vodacom could be that effective second fixed line operator competitor to Telkom, much more effective than perhaps Neotel has been, which hasn't been nearly as strongly resourced as a
absolutely
Vodacom group.
In the same way that Cell C has argued, well, it may have been in the market for 13 years, but is, you know, has it been a real competitor?
Yeah.
Similarly, Neotel was licensed in what, 2005 or so?
Yeah.
Thereabouts. And the idea was that it would be a second network operator, and it made claims of things like 15% market share within the first year. And of course, none
first
of this
5 years.
Oh, right. But of course, you know, most of this hasn't come to pass. And I think there is a lot of weight in the argument that putting the two together would turn Neotel or Vodaneo or Vodatel into a genuine second network operator. And I think they certainly have to bear that in mind when assessing the merits of the deal.
Absolutely. I've given it a lot of thought. I think the deal would make sense, but guys, attach a few conditions to it. You can.
Sure.
Anyway, just briefly before we wrap up the news section, Craig, I think let's just have a quick chat about, we've been looking this week at international streaming services, and it's really frustrating. I know many of our listeners will be frustrated with the fact that many of these international services like Netflix and Pandora and Spotify and Hulu, you name them, are not available in South Africa. A couple of them have come. We've got Nokia Music, for example.
Sure, and Deezer.
And Apple offers a few selected movies, although it's pretty pathetic, through its Apple TV service and through iTunes. You know, there are a couple of, especially on the music side, there are quite a few of them.
And we can see some of the reasons, right? I mean, you've got to wonder about the viability, given that generally for these sorts of services, what you want is a fixed line service, because you don't want to be paying for 3G data to use them. And the fixed line market, as we know, is tiny, you know, fewer than a million in service. So you can understand from, you know, a company like Netflix looking at potential markets to enter, that we must be a blip on the radar at best.
Mm.
But it's nevertheless frustrating. Of course, we found some ways around it this week. There are a couple of ways to go about doing it, right? Most of these services don't care what your billing address is, with the notable exception, I know, of Spotify. Spotify, you have to have a billing address in a territory that they support. But Netflix, for example, as we discovered testing it out, as long as you pay the $7.99, they don't mind if you use the service. Indeed. So a couple of methods to do it, mostly using VPN or virtual private network services. And really the short version, I guess, is that you make your IP appear as if you are in an applicable region like the US. In turn, you then sign up for the service and thereafter off you go.
Indeed. Craig, you mentioned a particular one that I managed to use to sign up to Netflix this week, which was a plugin for Chrome. What was that called again?
Right, that was called Media Hint.
Media Hint.
And there's another one called Hola Unblocker.
Yeah. So let me tell you what I did. I've been keen to subscribe to Netflix for a while, and I just haven't found the time to fiddle. Finally found some time this week to do it. So I used the Media Hint software in Chrome. Immediately, as you know, if you go to Netflix without this plugin installed, it says, sorry, we don't serve your region. Install this plugin. I don't exactly know how it works. Go to Netflix and you sign up, provide your South African credit card. I bank with FNB, it had no problem accepting my credit card details. And that was great. I could watch movies and stream all the TV shows that are on Netflix on my PC. Except you don't really want to watch stuff on your PC all the time. So,
you dusted off the old PlayStation.
My challenge was to get it to work on my TV. And I've got old Apple TV plugged into my TV, and I was told that there was a way of getting Netflix on there. So I fiddled around. Craig, I even borrowed your Apple US store ID for a while, since I only have a South African iTunes account. And I just couldn't get that to work. So I gave up on that idea, decided to see. Let me see if I can get it to work on the PS3. Did a bit of Google searching, and found a fairly easy way where you change the DNS settings on the PS3 to tell Sony really that you're based in the United States. That didn't work either because I have a South African PSN account. So what I ended up doing was I ended up deactivating my PSN account, which is linked to your PS3 on this device, and then I reformatted the PS3 and reinstalled the Sony operating system. I then, in the process of going through the setup again, gave it a fake US address. It's so easy to find, by the way. You just Google fake US address. Type in the fake US address. I didn't even bother giving it my credit card details when it asked for it. Then went into the, signed in using a newly created PSN account, which I created on the web on my PC.
Right.
Which I told was, I was an American living in New Jersey. I then went to the PS3, went through the process, went to the PlayStation store, logged in with my new US credentials, downloaded the Netflix app, typed in my Netflix details, which I'd registered in Chrome using the plugin, and snap, it worked. And I watched two episodes of Breaking Bad straight out of the US last night, and the quality was great.
And of course, that's using a 4 meg line to actually use the service. I've heard from people that they've been able to manage this on as little as a 2 meg line, assuming that it's uncontested and they're not sharing it with a household full of kids watching YouTube videos. But I think it's so great that we have the option. And this is the thing too, is it's all about the choice. Really, the one thing I think that keeps a lot of people using services like DSTV, of course, is the sport. But sure. I have heard talk too about, for certain international sporting events at least, there being various streaming options online. So perhaps there are some ways to work around this. But of course, if you are interested, if you go to the site and you just do a search for Netflix, the story will come up. And there's a long selection in there of various ways that you can get the service, be it on PC or on consoles and similar.
Just wanted to mention something. You mentioned a 2 meg line and being able to stream over there. I saw someone in one of the comments that he's been able to watch Netflix on a 1 meg line. I noticed something interesting when I first started watching. I started watching in the sort of late afternoon, early evening, when I think a lot of business users are still online. I'm an MWeb uncapped subscriber. And when I started watching Breaking Bad, there was a lot of pixelation for the first 20 or 30 minutes, and there was even a point where it buffered a little bit. But in the second half of that first episode I watched, and then through the second episode of Breaking Bad that I watched, the quality improved dramatically. So obviously Netflix was watching my line and shaping it accordingly and doing the necessary buffering and delivering the maximum quality. It really looked like a very good standard definition feed by the end.
Sure. So the suggestion is, I guess, outside of office hours, when the ISPs aren't doing shaping, doubtless get a better experience.
Absolutely.
Anyway, and for $8 a month, even given the abysmal exchange rate, it really is a bargain.
It's cheap, yeah. I've subscribed to that. I'm a radio subscriber to Google Music, which isn't available in South Africa. Also cost me $8 a month because I got in early.
Sure.
So now I've got streaming music. I've got all streaming video. Sure, Netflix doesn't have everything.
Sure.
But
all for less than sort of around 200 rand a month?
Less than 160 rand a month.
All right.
All the music on the planet and just about
just all the about programming all the TV. You can think
of, except local programming.
Well, I mean, you miss out on the SABC news, and I'm sure this crushes you. But
sure, and of course, there's no super sports, so I can't see the rugby, that sort of thing.
Right,
but just for general entertainment, it's fantastic.
Right.
Anyway, Craig, I think it's time to pick our winner and loser of the week. It's that time of the show again.
I think these ones are pretty easy to guess.
Yeah, our winner has to be Acasa this week. I think for really being quite aggressive with termination rates and really coming down on the side of consumers in this, it's going to have a hell of a battle on its hands. It's going to face a hell of a backlash from MTN and Vodacom in the weeks ahead. But good luck to them. I think they've put a stake in the ground, and it's good to see Acasa being decisive as a regulator.
Absolutely. And of course, conversely, our losers this week are Vodacom and MTN, who have to now face these big battles to try and convince the regulator that it's being too aggressive and that they're going to suffer as a result.
Yeah, well, they already had 30 billion rand of market cap knocked off their market valuations or their share prices in the 2 days following Icasa's announcement. So certainly the market doesn't think it's good. But let's be fair. They've had a favourable regulatory regime for a long time. Maybe it's time for the smaller guys to benefit a bit.
Absolutely.
Well, before we sign off, though, Craig, we're going to pick our apps of the week. Let me go first. I've something I've found in the Google Play Store, and which I must apologise, I haven't had a chance to play with yet. But based on all the rave reviews it's getting in the Android Play market, it seems to be pretty good. Unfortunately, I'm currently using one of these new Explorer PVRs.
Why is it not DSTV. Unfortunately? It's just because you're so cutting edge that you have the latest and greatest.
But it doesn't work with that device, and it also doesn't work with a couple of other PVRs. It does warn, but it does seem to work with most DSTV PVR devices. The devices specifically missing are Explorer, the D9110, and the standard definition PVR. So if you've got one of those, it doesn't work. But otherwise, check it out. It's called DSTV Remote, and it's in the Google Play Store. I must say, I'm not a huge fan of the layout of the buttons. It looks pretty boring, all square.
Sure.
But, you know, pretty useful, I think, if you've lost your DSTV Remote, and I think it's a common problem. Or if the thing has simply run out of batteries and you don't have time to go down to the shop to buy some more, you can quickly fire this up on your Android device and make sure you get onto the right channel that you want to be watching, or turn up and down the volume, or just switch the damn thing off.
Right.
What's your pick this week?
So my pick this week is an app called Buffer. You can find it at bufferapp.com. Now, there's a plugin for Chrome, but you can also use it just from the web otherwise. And there is also an app for iPhone. There isn't a version for Android as yet. And what Buffer really does is if you find things during the day, say, that you want to post to social media services, specifically Facebook and Twitter, but, you know, sometimes you get a glut of things. You get a bunch of links from someone or from a few people, and you find five things at once that you would like to post, but you don't want to post them back to back. Perhaps because you run some sort of, you know, content site, or you want people to see them staggered throughout the day, or you find it at midnight and you simply don't want to post it because there's no one there to pick it up. What Buffer lets you do is you can set predefined posting times during the day at any hours you like, and you simply add content to the Buffer, which it then pushes to your social networks at the predetermined time. So for example, when I'm sitting at home at night, as I find things, I hit Option B on my Mac, queue them up, and then the next morning when I get into the office, every hour or so, one of these stories will get posted out to my Twitter and my Facebook feeds. It's great. It makes it sort of separate the content out a little bit during the day. Makes it look, of course, like I'm finding all sorts of quality content consistently through the day when I'm not. But just separates things out and prevents me from attacking my few and long-suffering followers with too many fun cat tumblers in a row. So that's my pick for the week. It's totally free, and that's bufferapp.com.
Cool. Go check it out. I think that's all the time we have for this week. From Craig Wilson, myself, Duncan McLeod, thanks for listening to the show, and hopefully we'll be back with another episode before too long. Until next time, ciao. We'll be right back.